Good morning. It is great to be back with you again this week after some time away with my family in California. I hope that you also have had a chance to rest up a little bit after the busyness of the holiday season. Here we are in the second Sunday of the new year, and we are beginning today a brand new sermon series. We're calling it Crossing the Threshold. We are crossing the threshold this month in January as we say goodbye to the year that has finished and as we enter into a whole new year. You remember that a threshold is literally a board or a plank that is put underneath a door in a doorway. It is part of what forms a boundary between in and out. A threshold is a kind of place that is between two experiences, inside and outside. And we are moving in this month from one kind of experience, last year, into a whole new one, what is still ahead. I've been thinking about this idea of crossing a threshold as I've watched our young daughter Abigail learn to walk in these past few months. You know, when she first started, you couldn't quite call it walking. It was more like falling forward while moving. But eventually, she got more steady on her feet, and she started toddling around the house, exploring all the different rooms. And as she was learning, Abigail would go at full toddler speed toward from one room into the next. And every time, as she crossed the threshold, as she went from one room to the next, she would trip and fall, because there's that little bump in the road. And then she would say her favorite word, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And she would pick herself up and keep moving. That little bump would slow her down. It would trip her up. And what she needed to learn was that as she crossed the threshold, as she went from one room to the next, she needed to pause. She needed to take care as she went from one thing into something new. And this is an image for us I want to suggest this morning about the kind of time and space that we find ourselves in here in January. Here in this month, we are crossing a threshold. And as we do, we too need to pause, to slow down, and to move quite carefully as we navigate our way from one kind of experience into something new. And that's what we're going to be doing in these weeks ahead. In the four Sundays that are remaining in this month, we will explore four different thresholds that God is calling us to cross. And today we begin with the first one, which is crossing the threshold from the past into the future. We're called to cross over from the past into the future, moving from 2011 with all of its joys and pains into 2012 and all that God has in store for us. So as we begin today, let's pray. O God of this year and of every year, of this day and all the days gone by, Lord, you hold our days in your hands. You hold our future. We pray to you today that you would open your word to us. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me words to speak. All these things in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. So we are talking today about crossing a threshold in our lives, and I want to suggest to you that we need to cross over the threshold from past into future in two important ways. These are two compelling reasons for taking the time to carefully move from one phase of life into the next. And the first reason is that when we cross over from the past, we have an opportunity to leave behind the disappointments, the things that didn't go right, and even the bad decisions that we've made. There are parts of each of our lives this past year that did not go according to plan, things that did not turn out the way we had hoped. And sometimes it's hard to let go of those things, isn't it? We can dwell on them. We can allow the past to have a power over us that does not allow us to move faithfully forward into the future. We can find ourselves stuck. And this was the situation in the Old Testament passage that we read together today. It begins with God asking Samuel this question: how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul, you remember, was the first king of Israel. And the people had been clamoring and begging God, give us a leader, give us a king like all the other nations have. And they had been bothering Samuel, who was one of their main leaders. He was a kind of elder statesman for Israel. And bothering and begging him, and finally he brought these complaints to the Lord. And God relented and allowed Samuel to anoint Saul as king. But from the very start, something wasn't right. When the people called on Saul to be recognized as king, they couldn't find him. This takes place a chapter before, or two before what we read today. He had hidden himself under a pile of luggage, and they had to pull him out from underneath these suitcases and say, "Look, Saul, you're the king now, okay?" It was his big day, but he shrank back from that responsibility. Later, Saul took on a pattern of disobeying God in a number of different ways, and finally God had had enough and rejected him as king. This was a hard decision, but it was something that had to be done because it was so clear that this was a failed kingship. A failed kingship. And Samuel takes this failure personally. After all, he was the one who had asked God to make Saul the king. He was the one who had anointed Saul with oil and presented him before the people as their new leader. Samuel looked back at everything that had happened and the part that he had played in it, and he grieved and he mourned the things that had gone so badly. He sat with this failure. He relived it over and over again, beating himself up about this great disappointment in his life. I wonder, as you think back over these past months or maybe years, if you have ever felt this way, held captive by your past mistakes, stuck thinking about things you did before but that now you can't really change, deliberating on disappointments in how you've acted or how someone else has acted toward you. Well, God comes along and says to Samuel and says to me, and says to you, "How long will you mourn? How long will you look back at those falterings and failings from your past? How long will you be held captive by the power of what might have been and refuse to claim your part in what is still to come?" God calls on us not to remain stuck in the mess-ups and missteps of the past, but instead to cross the threshold and to move from a past we cannot change and step with faith into the future that God is revealing to us. If troubles from your past, maybe from this week or from this year, are what keeps you from moving ahead with God into the future that God intends for you, then hear this good news today. This is a word of grace for your life from God. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new life has begun. Cross the threshold and begin to live this new life today as you receive again God's grace and forgiveness for you. So a troubling past is part of what keeps us from crossing over to where God would have us to go. But for others of us, it's actually just the opposite. It isn't the past that's so bad. In fact, for many of us, the past seems to be quite good. Is that your experience, I wonder? Sometimes we have this idea in our minds of a time, a memory of life from long ago that was much more golden and glittery and good than our own times. What keeps us from moving into God's future then is not a past that is so bad, but a past that is overly good. It's idealized. It's an idol held up in our minds as the best that life can be. I watched a movie recently that really develops this idea nicely. It's called Midnight in Paris. Here's a movie poster just so you can get an idea. Have any of you seen this movie? All right, well, spoiler alert for the rest of you. I'm going to tell you the story. It's about Gil, and you see him there walking in Paris. He's a young Hollywood screenwriter who's visiting the city that he loves, Paris. And the thing about Gil is that he doesn't really love Paris right now. He is obsessed with Paris as he thinks of it in the 1920s, a gilded age, a golden age, a time when artists and writers flocked to the city, and he thinks of it as the best possible time to live. In fact, Gil is paralyzed in his own life, personally and professionally, because he can't get over this pervasive sense that the good old days were the 1920s and that all the best times our past. By the power of movie magic, Gil is transported back in time in the movie to Paris in the 20s. He gets to sort of live his dream, and he meets all of his literary idols: Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Gertrude Stein, and some more. And one of the people he meets is a young French woman named Adriana, who he begins to have romantic feelings for. And one night, as they walk along in the 1920s in Paris, Gil and Adriana are transported even further back in time, to the 1880s in Paris. This is a strange twist. And it turns out that for Adriana, the 1880s, la belle époque, the beautiful era, is considered the best time to live. And Gil is appalled. How could she think that? The 1920s were the best. But then, while they're there in the 1880s, they meet even more people who think back to the Renaissance and say that was the best time to be alive. Each of these people, you see, is trapped in this notion that the past was somehow more glorious and golden and good than the present. The best times are gone by, they are not ahead. Adriana is so stuck in this idea, in fact, that she tells Gil, "Go on without me." Gil returns to the 1920s and eventually to the modern era, leaving Adriana in her dream world. She stays in the 1880s. By the end of the movie, Gil comes to realize that there is possibility and greatness, you know, even in our own times, and not just in an idealized past. Well, this is kind of an exaggerated way to make the point that God calls us out of our past, whether it was good or bad, whether it was terrible or terrific, and God directs us into our future. Here at the beginning of the new year, we are asked to cross this threshold and to take steps ahead into a future that only God can know. And here's the exciting part about it. As we follow God into the future, surprising things can happen. Look back at our Old Testament story for a minute and you'll see what I mean. God calls Samuel out of grieving for Saul, out of that fixation and focus on his past, and he tells him, go. Go and visit Jesse, who lives in a town called Bethlehem. Go and find the future king of Israel. So Samuel goes, and he ends up anointing Jesse's youngest son, David, as the new king of Israel. But the story ends there in this passage of Scripture, but it continues on. Because David's line, King David's line, goes down through the generations, all the way down to a man named Joseph, who was of the house and line of David, who was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. You see, the future that God has for us is activated, even in surprising ways, as we cross the threshold from past into future. Samuel had to give up that past in order to follow God into the future. What God brought to us in Jesus could not have been foreseen even then, but it developed through Samuel's faithfulness to that call. I wonder what the future looks like for each one of us. I wonder what new thing God has in store for your life in this year ahead. Maybe a new relationship or opportunity. A new area of learning or joy and experience or an opportunity for service that is waiting for you and for me, if only we will follow God's call and cross the threshold from the past into God's future. You know, it's interesting to think about this subject of past and future here on a Communion Sunday, because set before us here is this memorial meal, in communion, we think back on this last meal that Jesus spent with his disciples. And it was a meal that had good and bad parts to it. Good, of course, because Jesus was there. He was sharing food and drink, fellowship and conversation with his disciples. Very good. But it was also bad, because we know what happens next. Out of this meal, Jesus is betrayed, arrested, beaten, crucified, dead, and buried. So we remember this past here at the table. It's both good and bad. But we believe that as we break this bread and share this cup, that we aren't just in the past, but instead that we can experience Jesus' real presence with us here in the present, right here and now, even today. God feeds us spiritually and nurtures us so that we can not go back in time, nor so that we can stay right here, but so that we can go out, so that we can walk through the front door of the church, so that we can cross the threshold out into our lives, into all that is waiting for us this day, and this week, and this year. I invite you, as you come forward today to this communion meal, to look back at a past that is both good and bad, and also to look forward into the future that God is beginning to reveal in us, through us, and for us this day. Join me in crossing the threshold with God. Amen.
Amen.